building a mold. It's going to be called the King Kong Ding Dong.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
I am Adam Haskell, and I sell big chocolate dicks.
I never thought when we were starting a podcast that that would be the introduction, but Adam, I'm happy to have you on the show, man. How you doing over in San Diego right now?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited to have you. I feel like the other week, and this is something I want to get into later on, we had a previous guest, Oliver, who sells like sex chocolate. And I was talking to Gio and I was like, this might be somewhat of like a risque episode. Like we're starting to enter potentially cancel culture. And now that we brought you on, we are deep into the territory. So I'm excited to see where this episode goes. What's cool about your story is like, people are going to hear like, oh, chocolate penises. And they're like, is this a joke? But you've got a really cool business here. Actually, the more I dug in, the more I got impressed, honestly. And I think what'll be fun for this episode is like, I want to get super tactical on the e-commerce stuff, because I think you've got a lot of really cool things there. I think you've also got a lot of really funny stories that I want to dive into and hear the background of it as well. And then I think towards the end of the episode, I want to just kind of like dive into like everything from like growth strategies and like just generally like riffing on like how you started the business today, how you're growing it, like you've made some acquisitions. So I'm excited to see. But I think for the listener's sake and to kind of like put things into perspective and level out that intro, I read somewhere that when you were first starting out and you started thought about this business, I'd love to know like the origin story of around how it got started. And is it true that you were literally making chocolate dicks in your garage in those early days?
So yeah, to quickly answer that, the latter part of that question, yes. I, for about a year, we were qualified as a cottage business, or that was how I licensed it, because I, you know, I'll get to it here in the origin story, I guess, but I never thought this was going to be anything that really went anywhere. I used it as first a joke for my buddies, and then secondly kind of as like a testing ground, because I've always been really interested in D2C e-commerce, selling online. I was definitely in my chocolate factory in the garage, and it was like a little 10 pound chocolate tempering machine, which is how you actually make chocolate snap and like make it nice and shiny. And I remember the first like holiday season where I was actually busy. I think I was making chocolate in there for about a 2-week period, like 20 to 22 hours a day, just stuck in there, just like cranking out chocolate, because it was only 10 pounds that I could make at a time. And so I was like constantly, I had these big chocolate melters. It was an absolute disaster. And my wife, well, she was my girlfriend then. Put things on thin ice, I will say that. I guess the origin story, I alluded to it there, where it started as a joke. I went to a wedding in, this was 2016 or 17. I went to a wedding in Des Moines, Iowa. I grew up in Iowa, and my buddy was living in Colorado, and I was like, hey, I'll ride with you to Denver, and then I'll take a flight to California, because he was driving back home. And as guys in our, you know, early to mid 20s, you know, you'd stop at random places on the road. And we stopped in Lincoln, Nebraska at a random sex shop. We got lunch, and then he's like, oh, let's go in here. It'll be funny. You know, let's look at the dildos and the porno mags and whatever. And I found a mold, and I was like, oh, this would be hilarious to send to make chocolate dicks and send it to my buddies in California. And that's really where, that's like the origin story. I melted chocolate chips on a stove, made one, threw it in the U-line box, you know, just like a standard cardboard box, and like was putting it in my buddies' mailboxes here in San Diego or in Pacific Beach, as Giovanni was just, we were talking to Giovanni before this. He was just there. So, you know, Pacific Beach is a small little town. So I kind of rode my bike around and just like slapped it in mailboxes. One thing led to another. I made a website to make it seem like it was a real company. And then just on a whim, basically just threw up a shopping cart to see, because I was interested in e-commerce. I was like, how does this all work? And like first or second or third day, I got an order and I was like, oh, okay, I have to figure out how to send this to somebody. And I guess you could say that's kind of the rest is history after that. I mean, it was a couple of years before I actually like was doing any type of volume, but that is the origin story of Dick at Your Door.
I think, the first company. That might be my favorite origin story now. did you leave like with this mold? Were you traveling around to a wedding with a dick mold, just knowing that you were going to go make chocolate?
Yeah. No, we were actually on the way home. So it was after the wedding, but yeah, it was, I still have one around here. I mean, I know where this is a podcast, but, here's what it looks like.
That's hilarious.
So this is
pretty much everyone is just listening to this on audio right now, but
yeah,
just holding up like a silicone penis. That's essentially what's on camera right now.
Yeah, a big silicone molded penis. So yeah, this is exactly what it looked like. This is a bigger version of it, but yeah, that was the beginning.
And then there was just a time period where like this was a side hobby of yours, and like every once in a while someone would order it, and you just go to your kitchen and fill out the mold.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They were like all made to order. I remember, and I was like, it was in my garage. So I would make I would boil the chocolate on the stove in our kitchen. And we were renting a really tiny place at the time. And I had just moved in with my girlfriend. So she already thought I was weird for doing it. But yeah, I would melt the chocolate, pour it out of the pan into that, and then let it sit and cool in the fridge, put it in a box. And then I had like one of those little heat guns to like shrink wrap it. It was a disaster, man. Like I remember we got 10 orders in a day, in like a week one time. And I was processing orders like once a week back then. And it took me like to make 10, it took me like almost 5 hours. I was like, well, I'm never getting anywhere with this. And now we do like, you know, a couple thousand a week. You know, among our other chocolate stuff, but yeah, it's been a lot of just kind of learning on the fly.
What did that actual scale look like? Was it just super organic, or hey, I'm gonna do this on the back burner, and then slowly every month it kind of picked up? Or did you kind of sit down and say, hey, I'm gonna make the largest chocolate big shipping company?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I was working for a company, I don't know. He's built another company now, Andrew Gadzecki. I was working for his company here in San Diego, and I ended up just getting kind of like a quick severance because it was the end of the company's road. And I was like, man, I've been jumping around from startups. I was a sales guy. But I'd seen a little bit of potential, and I took my entire severance and just tried out. It was like a conscious decision. I'm like, I'm just going to see if I can make this work, whatever. If not, I can get another sales job, you know, sales is sales. And so I took all the money that I had gotten in that check and just started reaching out to meme accounts, because that was like the very beginning of influencer marketing. You know, people didn't really know what an ad looked like, didn't really know what a sponsored ad, you know, post looked like. And it was really the Wild West and Instagram. I remember I paid this account, and he's still around. He's a good dude. Pablo Picasso is the meme account. I paid him $150 and I got like $1,600, $1,500 in revenue. And I was like, there you go. And that's how I scaled for the first like six to 12 months was just strictly meme accounts.
I remember when we were having Oliver on the podcast before, he was talking about how having the word sex in his name made it an absolute nightmare to do anything content related or ad related. And so as a result, he's doing a lot of like, you know, implied stuff where it's like, you know, like he would literally spell the word like S-E-G-G-S, right? To like get around like these ad blockers. Now, something you just can't get around is like literally showing a photo of a chocolate dick. But the even more difficult part is like your entire brand. I read somewhere that you said like having the word dick in your URL is a nightmare when it comes to PPC land. Like anywhere that you're running Facebook ads or trying to run Google ads, like they just don't want to go and show the word dick. So as a result, like have you found a way to kind of get around that, or has it been mostly like the press and influencer marketing the entire time?
So we do, there's a couple things. One, and to cover, just to comment on what Oliver was saying about tabs, and he's a great, he's super smart kid. Like, I love connecting with him. So I'm glad you guys have had him on the podcast. He's got a ton of information. He's like that next iteration, or the next generation of these e-com sellers. But yeah, having the word dick in the URL is like a death sentence for anything on social. It's full stop. Like, eventually, even if you get through the filters, eventually it'll get flagged. I've tried for 6 years and fail. The back end of my Facebook business manager, I don't even have it anymore. It's just all just red, and you're just like, everything shut down. So it has been the biggest problem, aside from, you know, shipping chocolate in the summer. But that's another thing we'll talk about, I'm sure. But yeah, we do, Google is okay. Google, we'll do some PPC with Google. They flag us for being shocking content. And so a lot of it is just resubmitting the ads. It's an ongoing process where we have like 60, 70 ads disapproved at a time, and you have to go back through and resubmit them all and get them reapproved. So it's still a pretty manual process there. But what has been really, you know, kind of our bread and butter is, and I think will always be SEO, just straight up, just going, doing the manual stuff, building SEO, building, you know, trying to get good PR. You know, it is a viral product. All of our products have that little bit of virality to it. So trying to lean on UGC, trying to lean on, you know, almost that customer referral base. Not an official referral, but, you know, somebody tells somebody else and they send it. Like, that's where a lot of our customers come from, is they see it and it's kind of that impulse buy.
Would you have picked a different name if you could have, looking back? Or
100%.
You would have.
100%. Okay. Oh, 100%. I'm sure we would still have problems with, you know, just the content. And like, I've built different websites. I've built, you know, masked all the pages. I've gone through, crawled my website, duplicated it, and took out any word that would be shocking or hit terms of service. You would still run into it, but I think the URL is the base problem. You know, it's like that first line that gets, you know, screened and it's over. I mean, you guys know with Facebook how crazy their algorithm is, and you can get shut down for anything. You get shut down for the most innocuous thing in the world. So just having the word dick in it is just like a death sentence. It's affected scalability for sure.
Can you set up like sub-brand, like advertorial sites to go and run ads through that and then link back? Because that's probably like the best workarounds possible, right?
Yeah, I tried... I read a lot about like CBD, you know, cause that's kind of how people are doing it. You know, I don't know how gray hat or you would even call it, but just like getting through those filters by, you know, setting up a landing page, or, you know, going through like Unbounce, or setting up a quiz and then reroute, or do like a redirect or like a 301, tried all that. I still would get flagged eventually. But it's crazy, man. Like, the second I would get on Facebook, I would have like a week on Facebook, just go like gangbusters. It was pretty wild, like how quickly they sell.
Can you say numbers or no?
Yeah, I mean, we would do like 1,000 units in like 6 days. It was like really, really easy. CPAs were super low, and just like CPMs were like almost nothing.
Y'all also have like that price point for a product too, where like I see this, I'm like, I'm totally gonna dick to Gio's door right now. And like, it's like, I forget what the exact price, I want to say it's like $30 or something, like versus selling like, you know, a $200 product where like now you're retargeting them and you have to convince them and through reviews. I'm like, okay, worst case scenario, I lost $30. Best case scenario, Gio gets a face full of confetti and a chocolate dick. Like, that would be so funny.
Exactly. And that's the way I've always wanted to be. I mean, it was like out the door, shipped, arrived with tracking, $24. But realistically, like, supply chain stuff and the pandemic has affected that. So we have had to raise our prices just a little bit. I hate that. You know, I'm a believer in especially these types of products, like price point does affect CPA and does affect conversions.
What's your guys' price point now?
23. So up from 20.
Like, have you tested any of that kind of stuff before? I'm assuming yes, but.
So yeah, we test on different platforms too, like Etsy, Amazon, Walmart, that kind of stuff. Well, Walmart, we do our cards. Walmart didn't allow us on there because you have to like apply to Walmart. Walmart, man, I think that's a selling platform that is like super powerful. it's an up and comer for sure. They really want to compete with Amazon, and they're starting to do a pretty good job from like an aggregation standpoint of like just pulling all these other brands and selling them on there, like almost like a marketplace.
I bet you can raise your price 25%, and it would. I mean, you probably tested it, like $29.99. That you don't think that'll like totally drop off conversion? I think it wouldn't change it at all.
Well, what I would love to do is $29.99, and this is something that I'm going to test, especially here in the summer as we get through, because summer changes the dynamic of chocolate, like for sure, yeah. As you can imagine. I would love to do $29.99 free shipping, and upgrade to priority at like $35.99. So like if you spend like $30 or $40, you know, what if you do your A/B testing on what works best, but like spend $40 to get that AOV up there, and then your free upgrade to ice plus priority or something like that. Because that does end up costing us like $12, not $12, like $9.
Okay.
For priority plus an ice pack plus the shipping materials, stuff like that. Last year's numbers, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit. There is a seasonality to it, you know, October through Valentine's is like our big bum rush. We did just under 100,000 units last year. And that was across two of our stores. So, but the shop that I acquired in 2020, Pranks Anonymous, did probably like 18,000. So the bulk of it, the lion's share is still on Dick at Your Door. We did just under 100,000 units. So
that's incredible. And I wanted to get into all of that, like Pranks Anonymous and also the manufacturing of making 100,000 units has got to be so insane. I just want to go and wrap this up real quick, at least this segment around like the price point, because I think like I see this $23.99. Okay. Then I understand like you probably have expensive shipping to keep everything cold and like not melting when they go and arrive in your mailbox. But for anyone listening to this who is in e-commerce right now, everyone kind of knows like the upsells, the cross sells, all of that stuff ultimately drives to the bottom line with AOV. And you have a lot of really smart, in my opinion, cross sells of things that you wouldn't really cost that much more on your side to add, but have a decently high perceived value, right? So like adding a custom note, $5. And like from your standpoint, it's got to be like under $1, right? So like an 80% plus margin. After all is said and done, I would love to kind of know like, okay, it's $24 overall for the actual chocolate. How much is the typical AOV that you guys have on that product across upsells?
With everything, so our AOV on our, like our, call it our flagship product, the Dick chocolate, our AOV, and this is after the customer pays for shipping, and most of the time they'll do the $3.99, just to give more information to like what a typical order looks like. Our first class mail shipping price is $3.99, and that's the lion's share of what people choose. It's right around $34.
Okay, cool. So you're saying like basically they think they're getting a $24 thing, and realistically you're getting almost like a 40 or 50% pop on AOV just with some of these upsells alone.
Yeah, the upsells are huge for us, and we also do we also do a post-purchase one-click upsell. So like we'll do like if you've ever been on Vistaprint or like something like that, where they just like spam you with one-click upsells on the after you order. We do like add another for 40, send another, you know, send, got another person you want to send a dick to, send one for right now for 50% off, just, and then they click, they get an auto responder, like email that sends them a coupon for 50% off, because you can't, once you've purchased, because you can imagine like you're sending a gift or you're sending a prank to somebody, if you do a one click upsell and it just sends them two dicks to the same spot, it kind of defeats the purpose. So we had to create a workaround where it's like, you click yes, it charges your card, we automatically send you a 50% off, like a one page lander that they almost like check out. They just fill out the shipping information again.
Are you seeing any repeat orders or kind of any consistent customers? Or I can't, yeah. I'm trying to think through that. I was like, is there some dude that's like, this is his go-to, birthday present or something that he sends people or?
Yeah, I mean, we get, some of our reviews are really funny. I mean, from a numbers standpoint, we're not super high on repeat customers. I think we're right under 20%. Like just this year, I think we're even lower a little bit, unfortunately. I think it was like 16% so far this year. But we have people that, it's like an ongoing prank where like they send one of our products to somebody for like, like this dude's been, we gave this guy like a bunch of free product because he orders it like twice a year and sends it to the same, his buddy is the same person. And it's been like a 4-year thing. And he hasn't, the guy like doesn't know any at all who keeps sending it. It's just like this long-term prank that he's been playing. So yeah, we do have those people. We have people that just like, that love our cards. And like sending them for different occasions. And that's something I really want to lean into and see more of this year personally, is I think cards are applicable across all different niches, all different occasions, just like our chocolates, but it's a little bit safer and people are like love sending cards in the mail. So we're really exploring that.
I've personally noticed before too, with a lot of some of the stuff that I do on the e-commerce side with the one-click upsell on the back end, you have a lot of opportunity, especially with a product like this, I think, to upsell like things that are so incremental to the cost that do nothing, like cost you essentially nothing to include. But from them, it's a really high perceived value. Like I would imagine adding in those custom, like for anyone not on Adam's website right now, like you can see from the Pranks Anonymous or whatever, like all of the different like greeting cards you guys have too, and they're actually like incredibly funny, like exactly as you would kind of imagine them to be. Like it'll literally say like I think it says tits, it's like tits your birthday, whatever, like that, like, or like happy birthday dickhead, and like just a photo of a penis on the card, like total like kind of crude humor stuff, but like hilarious. And so I would imagine a lot of people do this kind of stuff for some form of holiday, whether it's birthdays or Christmas or Valentine's Day, whatever. Like I bet you can probably get away with saying like, hey, we'll include a card at the bottom of the box for like, you know, $9.99 instead of $12.99, like, you know, 25% off. And I bet that would work pretty well too.
100%. And that's kind of the, I mean, short answer, yes, absolutely. The longer answer to that is messaging. For me, to get those conversions, like that's something I really work on. I don't personally think I'm doing a very good job at yet. Because our those, like you're looking at those cards, like those cards, they're never ending. So you order them, you can order them activated or non-activated. So if they're doing a one-click upsell, so I'm getting into the weeds to kind of explain why it's more difficult for a message from a messaging standpoint, is like these cards, they're like one of my favorite things. You order it activated, you can put a custom note inside. So when they open it, it starts playing like a crude song. Like there's one that's like, holy shit, it's your birthday, and you open it and it's just like, sounds like diarrhea, and it loops for like 2 or 3 hours and you can't turn it off. And the only way that you can turn it off is by destroying the card, and there's glitter inside the card. So it's like they're so funny, but it's really hard to get that messaging across. Like I'm right now, and I haven't really done it yet. I haven't tested it, but just like building an infographic or like something that's like has shows the card and then like little drawings off the side, you know, that show, hey, 4 hours, blah, blah, blah. You know, even including a video in the product listing, like hasn't helped conversions all that much because people don't necessarily watch the video. So that's a problem. Like, I think if people understood right off the bat what these cards were, we would have such higher conversions with that upsell. And yeah, that the perceived value is, and the real value is there because they're great. It's a newer product for me, and it's, you know, the quality is there to start. You know, sometimes you release a product and you're still like learning. Like this one is, I spent some time on and made sure that it was a good product. So to like right out the gates. So
how's TikTok been with, I guess, either all of it, or are there some that convert better? Or because I'm assuming, I feel like these would make phenomenal TikTok videos of look what I just got, or might be a good way to explain the card as well, right? Or it's like, hey, can't turn this thing off for 4 hours. My friend just sent this to me. Or I'm assuming you guys have probably tested a bunch of different things.
Yeah. So we're right in the middle of testing. We're testing organic, we're testing ad format, and we're testing, I guess me still. So I have people like, you know, we're going that micro influencer route right now, where, you know, because I look at TikTok, I'm in my mid 30s now, geez. And I don't understand TikTok that well, but I do look at TikTok and I say in my brain, I'm like, all these people are like little mini videographers. Like they all know how to use the platform. It's super simple to them. So get as much stuff out there and then get like 10 out of 100 that are good videos that work, but they were all at a really low price point. It's kind of getting that low hanging fruit, because I really believe that these can be a big next step for us is TikTok. And we have run into, you know, I have a couple different people running two different accounts, just testing different types of content. And we run into the same flags, but what's great about TikTok that Facebook just doesn't do is you have that human touch still. So they give you the feedback that you need. And that's helped tremendously. Like just someone inside TikTok telling us, well, yeah, you can't show a chocolate dick on the video. Come on. And it's like, okay, sorry, my bad. We'll throw an emoji over it. Well, you know, we won't show it. We'll allude to it. And it's really, really good right now for just top of funnel traffic. But I'm diving more into like how to get those conversions on TikTok as opposed to just like funneling traffic and getting people more of like a brand awareness type situation.
Totally. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been running this now for like what has been like 5-6 years?
Yeah, I think 2000, you can call it 2000. So this is like our sixth year.
I'd love to know, like, I think it's one of those things too, like you mentioned you're in your mid-30s, like you started this thing like your late 20s, whatever, and like now you're at this point where like I don't know where you're at social life or whatever like that, but like now your friend's like Adam's that dick guy, and I think you've got the sales now to kind of back it up and like prove it out a little bit more. But what was that journey like kind of getting to where you're at today? Like, because I would imagine at some point it's like it goes from like hobby to like, no, this is my full-time career. And I'd love to kind of know what it's been like balancing like the professional life with the social life of that.
Yeah, it's funny you ask that. I mean, when people ask me about this business, yeah, it is. I'm in a different point in my life like than I was. Like, I'm not a dick joke guy anymore. You know, I love e-commerce. Like, I'm absolutely in love with D2C. Like, it's all I think about. But, you know, maybe not dicks all the time. You know, and to be fair, I didn't tell anybody for years what I did. I just said I worked in chocolate manufacturing. Because, you know, one, people,
that's so people funny.
people don't take it very seriously. Which is kind of like a double-edged sword. It's funny to know the numbers that we've done and we're doing and what it affords me to do in my life. I'm super grateful for, but it also is like, you kind of are like a, almost like a sideshow. Like people, you know, you talk to other people that are doing similar numbers or bigger or less, and it's hard to be taken seriously when you're in the novelty world. It used to bother me, but honestly, it's whatever now. But socially, yeah, it's, you know, cocktail hours, like, you know, small talk. It gets brought up a lot. I've told the story a lot, which is fine. You know, again, I'm super grateful for, like, I have a warehouse. Like, that's silly. You know, it's Chocolate Dicks built this. It's crazy. So
like, especially when you're at the scale that you're at, right? It's like, all right, everyone can make fun of you, but now you're selling millions of dollars worth of chocolate, right? So
yeah,
I think it works out.
Yeah.
You guys aren't really the only ones doing this right now either. How do you view kind of competition? Does that really scare you at all? I mean, like, I'm assuming you can't really get a patent on your products. So how do you view that from a, you know, maybe risk going forward, or have you run into any kind of incidences there before?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, you can't patent it. But what we have done that has gotten us some, afforded us some protection domestically, we sell all over the world, but like in the US we have trademarked, Eat a Dick and Eat My Ass. So
that's so funny.
How do you get a trademark on that? That's amazing.
So and the caveat is it's trademarked for anything edible. So like if you put it on a shirt, whatever, we can't do anything about that. But like anything that's edible or consumable, and you want to slap that on there, that's our licensed material or our IP.
Have you considered licensing it out to other consumables that you don't already sell?
Yeah, so we've tried. Not that way, actually. There's a big world of like the chocolate dick cakes and stuff like that. Like bachelorette stuff is big and surprisingly a really weird niche to try to break into, but that's another story. But yeah, we license to a couple brands, but for the most part, if you see a chocolate dick online, there's one company that's out of Australia that literally just like copy pasted our website, like took our descriptions, everything, and, you know, that's going to happen. But anywhere else that you can find them anywhere on the internet is going to be our product that we affiliate or wholesale or drop ship, you know, for. So
yeah, that's cool. When it comes into like the product line expansion stuff, because the first couple of years, you know, you were melting down Hershey Kisses and throwing it into a mold, and then like you productize it, you get a factory, and then like you're like, okay, cool, like we're selling a ton of these chocolate dicks. You kind of at one point were like more of like a one trick pony, right? I think I read somewhere like 5% retention, and like something along those lines. And now you go to your website and you're an actual storefront. You've got different product lines from greeting cards to the actual like signature product. I think I saw somewhere around here too. You guys have like, what was this other main product here? It was a confetti, like I think like the confetti or like mystery boxes kind of things. So like you've got a bunch of different like prank and like gag gifts and like, and those kind of like products on your site. I'd love to know how that acquisition of Pranks Anonymous went down and where you also see this business going, mostly from a product standpoint over the next like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. So to start with the acquisition, Pranks Anonymous, he's become a really good friend of mine. The guy's name is Eric, and he started Pranks Anonymous as a way to, because he caught on to, he was like next door to us, basically same neighborhood next door, where he was doing the spring loaded, you know, glitter bombs, like the anonymous glitter bombs. And that was like a big kind of viral thing while we were doing our own thing. He ended up selling some of our products, and then he just hit me up and was like, hey man, like I want to get into other niches. Like I'm over this. I do it all in my basement. Like it takes a lot of work. He's like, I enjoy working with you. Would you want to, you know, take this off my hands? And you know, one thing led to another.
He's like, buy this from, there's glitter everywhere in my house. Like, my wife's gonna leave me.
Dude, it's so bad. we make this in like this joke in the office. Like, one of my employees, Willie, he's like, oh, I hate arts and crafts, because he's just like covered in glitter all the time. It's just like, but yeah, he was over it. Like, he had all these products, he was doing it manually, like, he hadn't standardized anything, he wasn't set up to scale. Like, and I saw that as an opportunity to, one, kind of get a website that I could actually advertise on, try some products. I know the prank world, I know it on Amazon, and I know it on Etsy, and I know like where things are, you know, what I understand it. So it made sense to me, just based on the numbers that he was doing. I mean, because it was like all sweat equity. It was like, I was like, man, I can sacrifice 30% of your margin and make this easier and still make profit. I was like, that'll be like a 6-month process. It's been about a 2-year process now. It was way harder than I thought it was going to be. And I botched a ton of stuff, especially on a website rebuild. I almost destroyed the whole company by just killing the SEO. But that's been a really interesting and awesome learning experience, just because of, you know, it was a first acquisition, it was first buying something that was already there, and then trying to improve it. So I guess that was the first part of the question. What was the second part now? I got off on a tangent there.
No, you're good. Just curious where you think that the products out of this business is going to go, right? Because you've got your flagship product now, and I think like there's still an opportunity to grow that. You see that like there's still demand whenever you're able to run the paid ads. And so a lot of that's just like brand marketing and getting your voice out there and whatnot. But like, are you thinking about how to just go and make that main product bigger? Or are you thinking about, you know, we've got the chocolate products, we've got the confetti products, we've got the greeting card products, and there's like a slew of other products you want to launch over the next couple of years?
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I'm an open book. I think the plan right now, and things change, as you guys know, just being in e-commerce, like you fail and you're like, all right, I got to pivot, I got to try something else. But I think what I would like to see in the next 2 to 3 years is make, you know, move Dick at Your Door more towards like those gag gift fun, like chocolate products. Like, we're working on some other stuff that I'm excited about. I think it'll be way more mainstream, I guess, call it, and way more like safe. We also have like a couple distribution conversations going, like bigger retail stores, and like that whole process is really interesting to me from the Dick at Your Door side. We're going to be doing more so this year than any time before. We're finally got into merch. Like, we're doing, you know, that is right next door to, you know, funny dick jokes, funny t-shirts, and like dad hats and stuff like that. We're just starting to do that.
I feel like you could like from a mainstream standpoint, I'm just trying to think, right? Like, you, I guess at some point just avoid the private parts, right? Like, that's probably the best way to get into Walmart. But like, you could probably do like chocolate dad bods with just like a generic male torso with like a little bit of a gut. Like, I feel like that would be pretty funny.
Yeah, we're like, that kind of stuff is great. There's also like, we're working on You're the Shit, like little, like our new box that's coming out is, you know, little mini turds that are like, it's like a funny like congratulation box. So there's that. But we're also doing like the inflate, we're doing Halloween costumes this year.
That's smart.
Yeah, we're doing pool floats this year. We're doing ugly sweaters this year, all like dick related. And really just like, for me, I'm just like, you know what? I can't advertise. We've built a really good organic funnel. We have a really good, you know, kind of that jargon, omni-channel marketing. Let's build in and really lean into the niche of that, of dicks. So that's where I see that going. And then we can talk about pranks if you want.
On the manufacturing side, if you're coming up with all of these, you're making... what are you guys actually kind of making in-house versus outsourcing, or are you just mainly handling the distribution side?
So we make every edible food, every consumable is made in here in-house. All the glitter bombs are made in-house. but the cards we have a manufacturer for, the costumes we have a manufacturer for, the ugly sweater we have a manufacturer for. So anything outside of glitter bombs and consumable products, we do outsource. We have manufacturing partners, domestic and overseas.
What does the management / creative process at your company look like? And I asked this question because, like, I watched a South Park episode and I'm like, dude, did all these guys just like sit in a room, smoke weed and be like, we should give Randy massive balls and have him start a weed farm, right? Like, I'm just thinking like I have no idea how these meetings even go. And so I'd imagine, like, you basically with a straight face just looked in the camera and you're like, we're looking to a really serious expansion product line this year. And I'm like, at some point the novelty like wears off and you're actually talking about this like a real business. Like, does it ever get, I don't even know the question I really want to ask. It's like, does it ever get to the point where like you are in a room straight face just seriously talking about like, no, I think our penis line is going to have to be phenomenal this year?
Yeah, it's really funny you say that. I was just on a call yesterday with my 3D designer, so my CAD designer, and man, she's this very like feminine woman. She's awesome. Her name's Katie. But like, I have to have serious conversations with her. So like, I'm modeling a giant turd right now. And like, she brings up the SLA or the STL, which is basically the CAD for 3D printing. And we're looking at it. And yeah, you have to have these serious conversations. I always, at the end of the call, I'm like, I'm sorry, as always, that we have to talk about this. She's like, it's fine. But yeah, it is to the point where like, I have to realistically like, okay. And like, what are the logistics of filling the balls with, you know, marshmallow or like cream or nougat or, you know, what are the logistics of getting nuts in the shit or making it like a white dog turd or like,
yeah. Like you're like, okay, this is funny. Now, how do we actually go and do it?
I can't imagine going through like a coffee shop and looking around and there's some like some lady's got her laptop open and got AutoCAD up and just a huge piece of
shit. Yeah, dude, it looks like Mr. Hankey kind of the turd that we're working on. Yeah, it's really funny.
But like, all right, so I feel like Gio's 25, I'm 24. Like you're clearly into this, talking about like the road trip of when you got the idea, but like, I gotta imagine knowing the climate of the world that we're in right now, like there's people who don't find your business super funny and actually like, I don't know, get super offended by it or something like that. Like, have you had a lot of like really horror stories there or any like bad experiences with that?
Yeah. That's one of the things that I think creates a barrier to entry into what I do is it's, you know, when we sell, you know, close to 100,000 products a year, you know, even 1% of the, if they paid it and they want to make an issue about it, it creates a lot of time. So
I guess I didn't even think about, like, there could be people who are getting unsolicited chocolate dicks in the mail.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's and that's where things get very sticky. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got an email on Monday from, you know, a sergeant in the NYPD it's a stalking case. And I'm currently we just finished an actual lawsuit that was created some good press. Like we were on like Andy Cohen's radio station because of it, but a woman, a county supervisor in LA County got congrats dick in the mail and sued us.
That's crazy because it's like, all right, like sue the guy who sent it, like don't sue you guys, like I can see the frustration from both sides, right? From your standpoint, you're like, hey, listen, we have the best intentions in the world here, we want to make friends laugh and like fraternity brothers like do stupid shit to each other, like we're not in this for the malice. Like the person who like actually sent this to you that didn't like knew you would not find this funny is the person at fault, not us.
Right. And just like any, you know, just like if you're selling ladders to people, like you have to have those, you know, fail safe kind of things. Like every person who orders on Dick at Your Door has to agree to a service, you know, agree to, hey, I'm not sending this maliciously. I'm 18 years of older. I'm not sending this to a minor. Like we do that. We've done with our law team, because that is something that I have to have on retainer at this point, is a good lawyer that understands e-commerce, that understands litigation. You know, it just kind of comes with the territory at this point. And yeah, it sucks. You know, I say to my employees and like customer service, like, we may sell dicks, but we're not dicks. Like, we, you know, it's, we want to have fun. We don't want this to be like a, you know, something that hurts people. But inevitably, you know, we're going to get that, which it's a shame. I don't relish that. I don't think it's funny in any serious situation, but it also is something that I, you know, it's not going to stop me from doing business and what I do, because the bulk of people think it's funny and get a kick out of it.
What do you think you'd be doing right now if this hadn't happened? Or what other sort of projects do you have your eyes on, or niches? It sounds like you'd be doing something D2C, because that's what you love. So any specifics around there?
You know, with everybody that's in D2C, because it's so attainable, I think it's easy to be like, become like a big idea guy and be like, oh, I want to do this, and like kind of be working on. So like, I was working on a SaaS project last year. My developer actually he got kind of sick with like, had a really gnarly COVID experience. So we've kind of tabled that for now, but I love the idea of, you know, custom chocolate stuff. So it's something I'm really exploring. I have all the pieces and I'm excited about, for like, from like a corporate standpoint, weddings, corporate, like truly custom chocolates, and candies. That is something I'm pretty excited about and I'm exploring. I also want to try a high ticket item, you know, just for like a personal thing. I want to try selling high ticket stuff. As a chocolate, whole new
chocolate busts of like, if I can order like a $499 bust of Gio's head, just pure chocolate.
Yeah, we are doing it just on that quick aside there. We're building a mold. It's gonna be called the King Kong Ding Dong, and it's and it's 4 pounds of chocolate, and it's gonna be like $100. So
oh my god, that's so funny. Oh man, I gotta buy something. I will say, today's my brother's birthday, and I meant to go and order a chocolate dick for him. I actually just don't know where he's staying right now, so I didn't know where to ship it. And also, I was gonna Gio and I, we finally hired like an assistant to kind of work between us, and she's like over in the Philippines, and so she's awesome and like killer. But I also just didn't have it in me to be like, hey Naomi, can you go she's like 4 weeks into the job, and like we're finally starting to get like on like the professionalism down and all of that stuff. And I was like, hey, can you just go buy this dick for my brother? Like, don't ask questions, like just send it. But once I know his exact address, I'm gonna have to go and send him something.
Yeah, well, hit me up. I will absolutely hook it up. I promise. We'll get you a whole grab bag of stuff.
Cool. Adam, I love your story, and I'm excited to see where you're taking this brand. I personally think that like half the fun in these episodes is listening back to them in a couple of years to see like, okay, cool. Did he end up going and scaling up his greeting card business? Did he crack the code on TikTok? Like, did he launch that 100-pound chocolate dick? Like, I think that there's going to be a lot of cool things that we'll be able to like follow up with over the next couple of months and years. So I'm excited to do that. And if people want to go and follow you, ask you questions now, where can they go and check you out?
Yeah, you can always check out we're kind of like on social. We have our Instagram that's more of a meme page. It's kind of a placeholder now. It is getting reworked, but it's just at Dick at Your Door, or at Dick at Your Door Store, because I got the old one taken down forever. I'm on Twitter, just Adam Haskell. You know, I like to talk. That's how we got connected at the Bird app is pretty good for that. And then, yeah, just dickatyourdoor.com and pranksanonymous.com. We always will be releasing products. Like you said, it is part of the fun, just learning, testing, failing, succeeding, and going from there. This is great. This is good fun, guys. I appreciate you having me.
If you thought today's episode was awesome, we would love it if you would leave a 5-star review on the podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference and lets us get cooler and cooler guests for future episodes.